The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network, all here from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. And on the show today, football, NFL and college with Dr. Bob and Chris Felica. We'll talk global football with Paul Carr, as a matter of fact, and from under a cloud of smoke, Jason Weingarten on the Major League Baseball playoffs and football. Major League Baseball playoffs feels like it was a week ago.
It really does.
All right. First of all, let's get to this. First of all, what a listless performance by the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. Thank God I picked Washington in Survivor. With those black and gold uniforms. Oh, wait, that was Washington? Oh, sorry. Well, I'm out. If we were still back at the old place, we would run the Survivor record scratch drop.
Yeah.
But we just got lost in the move. So I'll do the old Kramer. I'm out. I did. Yeah, but that's. And then record scratch.
Not a Survivor.
I'm done. I went with Washington in both of my remaining pools yesterday. And by the way, thank you to everybody on Twitter. There's too many of these to go through who were commiserating with me and hoping that I didn't do that last night. Thank you. That was very, very awesome of everybody. But I will just tell you that. And there was a couple people who were like, I knew it. I know. I'm like, bruh, my Washington franchise, I knew it, mocks yours. Like, it's a lifetime worth of that. You have to understand, again, that for me and the Survivor pools that I had, picking Miami and Detroit would not have gotten me anywhere, because I would have needed Miami the next week. I would have needed Detroit Thanksgiving and the week before Thanksgiving. So anyway, Washington, and I'm out of Survivor, because that, Kelly, as someone who has watched every snap of this franchise for my entire life, that's one of the worst, the first half I'm talking, that was one of the worst performances, the most listless, flat performances I've seen from this football team in a long, long time. They lose, Washington does, to the Chicago Bears, who get off the schneid. Chicago wins it 40-20 as +220 dogs, 6-point underdogs in this ball game. And I mean, let's just, first of all, I have no problem with Washington on offense. Sam Howell was fine to me. I know he threw one bad pick, but it was 388 yards passing. Washington just kept passing the football. Howell was 37 of 51 for 388, sacked five times. I thought he was gritty when he was running, too. Again, it got out of a lot of jams running. It's the defense. I mean, no pressure on Justin Fields early. Getting gashed by Khalil Herbert on third and sevens for like 7 and 8 yards. And the worst of the worst, that secondary who just had receivers wide open behind them all game. And then when they weren't letting them wide open behind them all game, we're taking gambles, we're taking risks to intercept the pass. And that would get through them anyway. And the last one being the biggest one, Kendall Fuller took a risk to pick off that last pass on DJ Moore's third touchdown. DJ Moore, what a ball game. 8 catches for 230 yards, 3 touchdowns. The 230 yards, the second most receiving yardage in any game in the history of the Chicago Bears franchise. Alshon Jeffrey had a 249-yard receiving day. So congratulations to the Bears. I don't want to completely focus on the listless nature of Washington, but good on the Bears for, you know, again, flirting with losing the lead that they had. They were up 27-3, and it looked like this was going to be Denver revisited from last week, but they got it together with the biggest sit, by the way. And Jack Del Rio after the game described his defensive performance as just a dust up. It's also a joke, by the way. But Ron Rivera adding to the whole thing, when you knew the game was over for Washington, had nothing to do with anything but the decision. 4th and 2 at the Chicago 13. Washington had cut it to 27-11 at this point. 4th and 2 at the Chicago 13 with 3:17 left in the third quarter. And Ron Rivera decides to roll Joey Sly out there for a 32-yard field goal to cut it from 16-13. Because, again, as you know from this show, whenever you get the chance to cut a 2-score deficit to a 2-score deficit, you've got to take that opportunity.
Yeah.
That's when you knew it was over. And Joey Sly missed a field goal later, which was really the end of that game. game, but that was the moment where you knew it was over.
Yeah, that one was bad. I don't want to let Chicago off the hook here either, as you're as an 0-4 team rolling into this game, and they settle for that field goal on that second drive. It was like, what are you doing? Really? Like, it was 4th and 1 at what, like the 6 or something? You're like, oh, bring out the field goal team. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they did it as well.
Like, that was awful, I thought, for a team that was going in 0-4. So, yeah, some questionable decision-making on both sides. For the Bears, also, you know, kind of crazy, right, Gil? Like, you let Justin Fields, a guy who's had trouble developing in the NFL, just roll out, you know, roll plays out of the shotgun more and do a lot of read pass option stuff, and things work a lot better. What do you know? So, yeah, he looked better last night, and, man, yeah, Washington's defense, like, it is. There were 3 guys on the Bears team that caught balls last night. Only 3. Like, maybe stop letting DJ Moore get so wide open.
It's just horrible. Just absolutely horrible. And the Josh Harris honeymoon phase now comes to an official end.
Right, yeah.
Not that it's his fault, but now he, as the new owner, and thank God, we still thank God he's not Daniel Snyder, now as the new owner, he's got to have watched that game last night and said to himself, self, oh boy, I got to start thinking about when this ends with Ron Rivera, whether it's at the end of the season, whether it's in the middle of the season. But that was unacceptable in every way last night from Washington.
I also didn't get, like, their offensive game plan. Like, I don't know if they just panicked when they got down, like, so much early, where they didn't really try to run the ball at all.
Ever again.
You know, I mean, Antonio Gibson had 4 catches and 0 carries.
Also, was there a stretch where Terry McLaurin was not on the field yesterday? That was interesting.
That's what it felt like, yeah.
Anyway, it 40-20, the Bears get off the schneid. Now, the reason that the survivor ouster doesn't hurt that much is because, and I mentioned this going into the game, is there was a whole bunch of events, a confluence of events with this game last night. There was, you know, if the Bears had lost, would Eberflus have been fired? I have that bet. The other one that I have, though, for the big one was last winless team, the Carolina Panthers. And so, with that loss, that's a cashed ticket for those of us who had that bet at Circa, which I do. And you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, how can that be? We, on Guessing Lines, I openly wondered out loud. I was like, if the Bears win that game against Washington, does Carolina last winless immediately cash? Well, and for those who tailed on this, and a lot of folks out there did, so congratulations to everybody. But for those who did it specifically at Circa, I don't know how DraftKings and other books have this wording, but at Circa, because I texted Jeffrey Benson at 9 p.m. Pacific last night. Jeffrey Benson, nicest guy in the world.
that received so many random text messages from us at random times. Thanks, Jeff.
nicest guy in the world, and also has Thug Life tattooed on his abdomen. Let's not forget that.
When he hops on Twitter.
He hops on Twitter. But he immediately sent me back. He goes, it's a winner. I just talked to the risk team. It's a winner. And so I followed up with another question, and he sent me the rules. And the rules on this, and this is why you always got to check your rules for every single bet. The rules at Circa, and I want to read these verbatim on last winless, is as follows. For grading purposes, the timing of a team's first win and first loss will be to the minute, according to the NFL.com gamebook, start time plus length of game. And then it goes on to say, if the season is shortened from 17 games and a winner has not been decided, all bets will be refunded. But let's just talk about that for a second. So again, it's last winless team. Just literal definition, last winless team, because the instinct, because even after I brought it up, right, and was thinking about it this week, I was like, well, that doesn't seem right, right? Because
right,
it's the same week, and just because Chicago happens to play on a Thursday and Carolina plays on a Sunday, why should Carolina automatically be the winner? But there it is in the wording. Now, let's just take this one step further.
And to be fair, real quick, on Guessing Lines, when we first brought up, me and you kind of were just like, yeah, this was it, like Thursday. They play on Thursday.
Well,
they play on Sunday.
It occurred to me,
when
right?
When you take a step back and start thinking about it more,
yeah,
okay, maybe they handle this week by week.
Well, because on the ticket, what it says is last winless team.
Right.
Much like in 2020 during the French Open, what it says on your ticket is wins the outright. I'm just pointing that out. But I'm saying last winless team is what it says on your ticket, right?
So Circa's rules make sense.
So openly speculate. Yeah. So, but let me get to the point. Let's take this to another extreme, though. Had Chicago played a 1 p.m. Eastern game and Carolina played a 4 p.m. Eastern game on a Sunday, and Chicago had beaten Washington just like this on the early window,
still cash.
We would have cashed that way as well. Let me take it even further.
I know
ready?
Where you're going, yeah.
Let's say Carolina and Chicago both played in the 1 p.m. window.
Yeah.
But Chicago beat Washington minutes before Carolina's game even resulted in anything. Carolina would have gotten it. So, like, you can take this even to a further extreme as to how that's handled at Circus. So, again, does it suck to not be in Survivor? It does, because it's fun. Forget what you outlaid. This is the Carolina ticket more than made up for that. It's the not being able to have skin in the game kind of thing for the rest of the year. It's so much fun to talk about. Now, we will talk about Survivor. I'm not going to just abandon talking about it because I'm out, because it's still fascinating. So does that suck? Yes. But if you're ever going to get knocked out of something like that, it helps to have a 15 to 1 cash on the other side of that. So anyway, that's why. And again, thanks to everybody who was commiserating, because that was the... that's why you couldn't get too upset about it last night. And by the way, and I'll just say it again, that was the team for me to play. And again, when you're playing something like Survivor, you're playing it to win. And so you have to be okay with that choice. It's not about surviving. It just isn't. Because you have to get to the promised land on this. So whether you get knocked out in week 5 or week 15, it's the same result on that.
This is maybe one of the ultimate check your house rules examples, though, on this last winless last undefeated, because I don't really think I have a problem with it either way. You know, from how each book is choosing to grade it, but obviously as a better, you need to know.
Well, it does bring up what Crack says all the time. These things need to be posted. Right? Not everybody has Jeffrey Benson on speed dial.
Right.
As they say. We'll come back. We'll talk all things college football, soccer, and beyond. But more NFL on the other side. All of our NFL plays in Week 5 coming up. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams, futures bets, award picks, and season-long props, first-period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bets articles 5 days a week once the season starts. This guide's a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at vsin.com/subscribe. That also happens to be where you can get the VSiN NBA betting guide, and Kelly will have a alternate season win totals discussion a little later on the show. Looking forward to that. I'm very excited about that.
Connor Bedard missed a shootout, right?
Marc-Andre Fleury tripped him. Is that allowed?
Gil and I were discussing that before the show. We don't know hockey rules, is what we figured out. But I did thank you to all the loyal listeners and viewers out there, where I got about 3 people that tweeted me the clip last night of Bedard just screwing that up, I guess.
Yeah. By the way, we got about 75 fire alarm tweets there. We know. Chris Valica. We know. Just powered through it. All right. As far as week 5 picks in the National Football League, and again, there's the bets that we have, and then there's those that are contest plays. Let's bring that up. Oh, one more thing I forgot to mention about that yesterday. Do you know how many people texted or tweeted me before the game yesterday? Dick Butkus died. You better get off your Washington play. That was like the biggest thing. Are you kidding me? You know how many? Everybody said that. Dude, Jason Weingarten, under a cloud of smoke, who'll join us later, he texts me in the afternoon. He goes, you know, there's no logical reason for this. I bet Washington -5.5, and now it's -6. But Dick Butkus died, and there's 0% chance the Bears lose now. So I have to buy out, even though there's no logical reason. But I'm still doing it. And then he shows me the ticket that he actually did. That's people
is that
got
like
this.
Is that like a gambling gods thing, or is that like a play for the fallen hero situation?
Gambling superstition 101 is what it is.
I was gonna say, that's one I don't really.
By the way, RIP. RIP. Dick Butkus, who I was too young to be able to watch. Also, but was there ever a name that suited someone's ferocity and someone's position more than Dick Butkus. And I'm referring to the second name, by the way, the last name, I should tell you. Okay, so as far as the plays this week, now, usually I say with contests, you don't really get to talk about your entry unless you're 60% at a 60% clip. I happen to be 60%. You know why I don't talk about it? Because I'm not even the best entry on the show. Kelly is two games ahead of me.
Is that where you're at?
Yeah.
You are
just,
right there.
I'm just in your drift.
You're right there, man.
I'm in the Kelly Bidlin drift, and then I'm going to pass him at the end. This is the, agree or disagree, this is the first week, maybe you've had a week like this already, this is the first week where I'm terrified that I'm going to go 0-5.
Yeah, I feel like I felt like that many weeks already, actually. So.
See, I've been like ridiculously confident. Now I'm like, oh no.
I don't want to say I ever feel like there's an 0-5 or a 5-0 week because it's the NFL.
Of course.
But there are weeks where it is much tougher to find five games or even get close to five games. I just hope to find four, Gil. Find four because I always know the last one's going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
This week, I felt like it was okay. I feel fairly confident in a few of my picks.
Do you want to just go through games one by one?
Yeah, let's just roll through them all. Because we don't have Matt Brown in today. Let's just rapid fire through the whole card.
But we do have a field goal next week?
We got a field goal next week, and then we're going to have Matt Brown away again because he's going to be doing things for the big network.
Wait, so...
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk. I don't think I'm allowed to talk
about that. If he fails the field goal, we don't get to talk to him the next week about it?
We'll get him. We'll get him at some point. We'll get him at some point. If it's not Friday, we'll get him at some point. I don't know if you saw Dakota. We got Dakota Kivish Martin here, does fantastic work behind the scenes, also does some production work off to the side. He sent an email to me, you, and Matt Brown. I'm sure you didn't see
I didn't see
with
it.
An entire shot sheet of what he has planned for the day of.
Really?
It is the most professional looking thing I've ever
Dakota
seen.
Dakota did that?
Yeah, I'm like, Dakota.
Thank you, Dakota.
Pump the brakes a little bit, man.
If I read emails, man, I would thank you on the email. All right, London, Jacksonville at Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo favored by 6. I am staying away from this one. I had Jacksonville in the London game last week, hosting the Falcons. I don't want any part of this game.
This is, and we'll just kind of rapid fire through stuff because I know there's a lot of games that me and you don't have anything on. This is one for me. This is, this is kind of like Sunday Night Football, right? Where I'm like, I cannot wait to watch this game. I don't have a single bet, though. If anything, it would be a lean to the Jacksonville side for me because I think we're getting a little bit too big of a point differential between two teams that I'm considering playing on a neutral field. Maybe you're giving a half point to Jacksonville for having stayed over there for a week and the Bills having to travel. But this one, I'll just be sitting and watching, Gil.
Buffalo, after losing to the Jets in overtime week one, has since won by 28, 34, and 28. Pretty, pretty good. By the way, on buys this week, because we have buys for the first time, Cleveland, the Chargers, Seattle, and Tampa Bay. To the early window on Sunday, Houston at Atlanta. So I'm on Houston.
This is an interesting one.
I made this bet. Literally every other person I know is on Atlanta.
Yes.
So I feel like, well, maybe they know something I don't.
So, and this is also one where the line's moved a bunch all week, right? It's been between basically pick 'em 2.5 on the Falcons side. So it kind of, you know, matters a little bit when you got in as well. I'm with you, though, Gil. I know you have a play on Houston, right?
Yes,
you have
I
a
do.
Play on Houston. Mm-hmm. I haven't bet it yet. I think I'm looking for a dance partner to tease up the Texans with. I know they're dealing with some injuries. But man, Stroud has looked so good so far. You got the Falcons coming back from London, trying to turn around and play this game. I think if in a teaser situation with a total this low, with a team that we already know struggles to look, if they can run the ball and play some defense, that's what the Falcons want to do. For them to really put up to win by multiple scores, I think it's going to be tough for them to ask. So the Texans, I've got circled as a teaser leg. I just don't know who I'm pairing them with yet.
Houston and the Jets would be my teaser, my two leg 6-point teaser. Though it's not in my account yet, but that's the one I liked on the Megapod.
There's multiple options this week. I just don't really love a ton of them.
I don't love a ton of them either. Carolina at Detroit. Detroit, the biggest favorite on the board, were not for the Dolphins, as 12.5-point favorites against the Giants. We'll just take both of those in tandem. Detroit, 10-point favorites hosting Carolina, the last winless. Miami, 12.5-point favorites hosting the Giants. Expect both teams to roll, but I'm not laying those numbers on either.
Yeah, absolutely not. I'm trying to think. If you had to play one of the dogs, which would you play? Which dog are you more confident in
covering? Carolina.
I think I am too.
Because Miami could score 1,000 points.
Yeah. This is also the biggest favorites that Goff has been in Detroit. Biggest favorite Goff has been in Detroit.
Yeah. Tennessee is a 2.5-point dog at Indianapolis. I'm on Tennessee in this game.
Oppo.
Yeah. And again, this is one of these, just like the Atlanta-Houston game. Would I be shocked if I went 0-2 on either of those? I guess not. But I don't think I will. So I'm on the Titans. Again, this is very sparse. Like, I think this is one of the sparsest. To come up with 5 plays for a contest was very difficult. I just feel like the Colts injury report is
brutal.
It's a mash unit here. A lot of people haven't practiced. I don't know. We won't know till tomorrow, most likely, who will, or till Sunday morning, actually, who will go for the Colts. Jonathan Taylor, by the way, is also eligible to play. It should be pointed out. But I just feel like that injury report puts it over the top for me. I think this is a kind of game the Titans end up winning. But nothing surprises me with the Tennessee Titans from week to week.
I played Colts money line, but I played that on the opening lines as soon as they came out. This is definitely one I should have waited on with some of these injuries. I would not play this now. If anything, it would be Titans or pass for me. You're absolutely right, Gil, especially where the Colts have injuries, it's the worst possible places you could have when you're going up against Derrick Henry and the Titans, right? They have injuries up front on that front 7. You're talking about Shaq Leonard missed practice yesterday, questionable for the game. You're talking about DeForest Buckner limited in practice yesterday. He is extremely questionable for that game. Quiddy Pay.
Quiddy Pay's out.
He's out for the game, looking like a concussion. That is a lot of important guys up front that they're going to be missing. I bet it on the opener. I don't think I wouldn't bet it now though. If that's the case, I did bet Anthony Richardson anytime touchdown and over his rushing prop. I'm going to continue to do that until this guy slows down. I think his legs are so important for this offense, and he is so lethal with them. Those are bets I'm going to keep going back to. I did play both of those this week.
New Orleans at New England. I wouldn't bet with your money. Like, I have absolutely no feel for either football team, less so probably for New Orleans than I do with New England. So I want no part of that.
Okay, I'll make a case real quick for both sides. Okay.
Yeah.
How's this not an obvious teaser leg of throw the Saints in there and tease them up to 7.5, whatever. It's a 6.5 teaser, right? If New England won most places still, right?
By the way, why is it off the board now in many places? Seeing it off the board in some spots.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of new. Yeah, I see a couple spots off the board. Good point. Yeah. Okay, you could tease it up with how low this total is and how bad the offense has been for the Patriots. How could you possibly lose? Here's the flip side. Bill Belichick off the worst loss of his career coming home against a bad Saints team. Damn, that sounds like a win.
Yeah.
I'm staying away.
We'll do more of these games later, and one of the things I want to talk about is Eric Eager sort of down on the Eagles. We'll do that a little later. I'm just the messenger, Eagles fans. Soccer next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're also debating, by the way, what a team needs to do to get to number one. But Zyn nicotine pouches, well, the debate is over. They're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. By the way, when anybody tweets about it, 80 like jumps in. He's like, "That's my best flavor. I love that flavor."
Just gonna bring it up. I believe it was wintergreen. Wintergreen is his favorite flavor.
That's my favorite flavor. Ladies and gentlemen, I teased soccer next when we went to break. I did not lie, but there's also a bunch of college football that Chris Felica would like to talk about. It's Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, the Bear Bets Pod, both college and pro football. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. So you forced me into a spontaneous impromptu La Liga play this afternoon because I just wanted to give you something to follow this afternoon. So we're going to go with Atletico Bilbao to keep a clean sheet against Almeria. Almeria, the bottom place team in the table right now in La Liga, plus 115 for Almeria under a half a goal. Atletico Bilbao, one of the better defensive sides in the Spanish league, and Almeria will have difficulty, I think, scoring points. scoring. I'm looking at the point total right now, which is 3 points on the year, but scoring goals.
Yeah.
They suddenly cannot speak the English language. So Mary Andre half a goal today against Bilbao.
Yeah, they are going to have difficulty scoring points. You're right about that. All right, there's a soccer play. I did not lie. All right, college football, sir. By the way, the Bear Bets podcast, Thursday is college football day. Friday is pro football day. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Let's start with Texas A&M and Alabama. This is down, 2.5 now? Is that what the number is right now?
No, it's not. It's like a pick 'em in a lot of places
now. Oh, man.
Yeah, but my guess is that there are, I guess, reasons for that. One of them being that there is a rumor out there for a couple of days now that Jalen Milroe tweaked a hamstring in practice the other day. I haven't been able to confirm that one way or another, but if Milroe is unable to play or if Milroe is limited and he's a statue back there, that's going to be a problem against a really good A&M defensive front. So it's amazing to think that Alabama may not be favored in this game, but I grabbed some A&M actually at 3 the other day, so I might be in a position now where I can buy some of this back if it does wind up being where Alabama is an underdog. But I think it's a bad matchup for Alabama here. I think the way we saw their offensive line being and defensive line being kind of dominated by Texas in that game in Tuscaloosa. The Aggies, a lot of times, kind of disappoint in these big showdown-type games. But I think here, it's funny, I brought something up earlier in the week about how the significance of this game for Alabama. If you lose, you're out of the national title race. You had 2 losses before October. You've got Texas moving in, who's already beaten them. And people actually, like, of course, scoffed at it. I'm calling for the end of the Alabama dynasty. But a lot of people made some sense on the other side, too, and said that it's a bigger game for Jimbo Fisher and A&M, because if you do beat Alabama, you're probably never going to get a better chance with them weaker as they are now. You beat them, and everything's kind of in front of you. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is indeed some more pressure on A&M going into this game. So I like the Aggies, but I certainly don't like the fact that I'm in contention for a CLV trophy here.
They never want the CLV trophy. Alabama, by the way, just to be thorough about it, painted as a 1-point favorite everywhere that we look right now as we do this on Friday morning. All right, Red River, Texas, Oklahoma, Longhorns favored by 5.5.
Yeah, I actually wasn't planning on getting involved in this, but I think the fact that it's now 5.5, I'm going to have to play Texas at 5.5. I think I just mentioned how Texas went to Alabama, dominated both lines of scrimmage, had the better receiving core, and typically the better team wins in this rivalry. Like, there haven't been a ton of upsets lately in this series, and even historically, like, the better side typically wins. So look, Oklahoma, their defense statistically has been much better than what it was last year. But you talk to people who have kind of dissected their film, and they don't see like massive improvement in terms of from where they were last year to this year. So maybe it's just kind of a little statistical anomaly. And maybe this is the week that the kind of that regression, maybe your reality sets in. Because look, Oklahoma, you're looking at games against Arkansas State, SMU, Iowa State, like Cincinnati, like not a lot of good offenses. So Wilson, this is by far the best team Texas is going to play. I will say this, the wager that I would make if you don't want to lay the 5.5 with Texas is maybe play Texas to make the college football playoff. Because if the Longhorns win tomorrow, they will have a road win at Alabama. They will have a neutral win against Oklahoma. They don't have another ranked team remaining on their schedule. They go to that Big 12 championship game and they're undefeated and have those 2 wins in pocket and already will be 1 or 2 or 3 in the country, whatever they might be at that point. They might be in the TCU position of last year where they maybe don't even have to win a potential rematch against Oklahoma. So I would maybe look shop around and see what kind of number you can get on the Longhorns to make the playoff, because I think that's worth a bet.
And the loser still could have playoff aspirations, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because like I said, neither Texas nor OU have a ranked team remaining on their schedule. I think it's more so for Oklahoma, because maybe they could win out, but maybe there's not a belief that OU could ultimately win out, because maybe they're not as good as Texas.
Okay. Give us the rest of your best bets here. Oh, Kelly, want to chime in?
I like Georgia laying the points against Kentucky. I think this is a good buy low spot for the Bulldogs. Kentucky's a team that has had a ton of trouble scoring points against the Bulldogs. And typically these games go under. I think under is the play. Georgia under is probably the way to go here. The last four meetings between Georgia and Kentucky, they've been like a total of 103 points. I don't see Kentucky scoring a lot. This feels like maybe a 23-7 type of game. So I'm going to go Georgia and under. I'm going to lay the three with UCLA against Wazoo. This has a look of an underdog with fleas type side to do the Cougars. Look, I love them, but I think UCLA with that defense who leads the nation in opponent yards per play. They've had the week off since the game at Utah. I laid the three with UCLA. And I like Syracuse plus 10 against North Carolina. There have been a bunch of instances since Mack Brown has returned to Chapel Hill where UNC has really struggled as a big favorite, as they are here. I might have been off a little bit on Syracuse. I didn't think they were going to be very good this year, but they actually are better defensively. I would think Garrett Schrader will have a lot more success running this week than he did last week against Clemson. And remember, too, UNC has a big home game against Miami next week. So maybe this is a little bit of a peek ahead spot for the Tar Heels as well. So I'm going to take the Cuse plus the I found a 10 out there that I grabbed.
Do you want to say something, Kelly? You were chiming in on something?
No, I was just pulling up that Texas to make the playoffs price, minus 105.
Minus 105 on Texas to make the playoffs. Colorado, after getting housed by Oregon and I guess comporting themselves well enough against USC where they came out feeling good about it, losing 48-41. Never really had a chance to win it, though. They are now four-point favorites on the road against Arizona State. Where does the prime a train land here in this one?
I certainly can't lay it with Colorado here for sure. If you look at Arizona State the last couple of weeks, like Kenny Dillingham is kind of like taking over the offensive play. I know they have some quarterback issues, but they've been very respectable the last couple of weeks, whether it's been against Cal or whether it's been against UCLA or USC rather. They've scored a little bit more points, and certainly they will find this defense much more amenable to giving up points and big plays. So, yes, Colorado came back and made that score look closer than it was last week. This is still a team that's shorthanded on defense and at receiver. The offensive line is bad. Shedeur Sanders continues to get hit. It would be ASU or pass for me.
We have about a minute and a half left. I want you to chime in on this because I know you're not the biggest proponent of the 12-team playoff. I know you're not like super looking forward to that. As you look at the landscape of how the teams are this year, where it's really a lot more of a level playing field, do you has your mind changed on that a little bit, or are you still like, no, it's going to diminish the regular season? I mean, where do you stand on it?
I think it will. I mean, I think there are a lot of different thoughts in my head about it. I think this year it's interesting because I know Mitch and Paulie have asked this question earlier in the morning, like how many teams can legitimately win the national title? Maybe you could say 10, but on the flip side is what you said about the regular season, like Ohio State, Georgia, they're never going to play another meaningful regular season game again because they're going to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
So I get it. We talked about this as well. Like, I don't like the 12-team playoff, but you know what? I'm going to be watching and I'm going to be betting on all these games. It's like the baseball with the 37 wild cards they have now. Do I like that an 82 and 18 to make the playoffs with a wild card? No. But here I am watching all these wild card games. So more product is good for us.
Yeah. Kelly, could you check on the veracity of that, of the 37 wild card teams in baseball? I don't know if he's
it's
correct
close
on that. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Approximately. Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
Chris Velika, the Bear, at Chris Velika on Twitter. Bear Bets Pod, Thursday, college football, Friday, professional football. Now we'll do the real soccer, the global style, with Paul Carr on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. The new setup here at Bar Canada at the D allows for our guests to hear you and me talking about just random nonsense before every... before every segment. So our new gag is going to be, you know, Paul Carr's coming up. Our new gag is going to be like, another thing about Paul Carr that I can't stand. Oh, hey, Paul. We're going to do that for every guest and see how long it takes for all of our guests to disappear.
It is a, I get a lot of questions randomly about like about what happens during breaks. You know what I mean? And I think people like, it's very odd how we can sometimes go to break and Gil and I will immediately go to our computers or to make a bet and we don't talk for 3 minutes straight. And it's not an awkward silence. It's just how we do things. Or we carry over a conversation like it never ended.
That's right.
And just kind of rolls right into the next segment. So, yeah, we're always talking when guests hop on.
Yeah. The reason that it's funny with Paul Carr is because Paul Carr is the nicest human being on earth. He joins us now from Topeka, Kansas. The Expected Value podcast is his podcast. And, of course, he works at True Media Networks. Comes to us with his Premier League picks. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. I'm not going to make you find a new soccer guest yet, but we might be headed that direction. So watch out.
It is such a great. And that Paul Carr, that one time that he did. Oh, hey.
Hey.
Yeah. So you were kind. You texted me last night. Sorry about your Commodore's Survivor pick. Yeah, but you and I have talked about this, so thank you for that. And thanks to everybody who was nice and texted last night about it. It is. We'll say it again about Survivor, and I think you agree with me. It's not the. By the way, the money you've already. It's not about the money, and this applies even if I didn't have the Carolina bet cashing. It's never the outlay of cash. That's long ago forgotten. It's the fact that you don't get to participate quite in the same way with the mental gymnastics every week, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like every sport, you know, has a season. And, you know, you miss a game or whatever, you're on to the next game or later the day, whatever. But Survivor is a little different because when you miss, like you're done and the game goes on and you have to sit on the bench and watch other people play. And yeah, you don't get to think about it the same way. It's like it's a different part of your betting brain that you don't get to activate for another, you know, almost year. And I miss that too.
Yeah. Well, we'll still track it because, you know, it's going to be very interesting what percentage of the remaining entries did have Washington. And will we now, after this week, actually be even further in terms percentage wise of eliminations than we were last year, which was an epic season at Circa. So you're already out of yours, by the way.
Yeah, I went out with the Jags, like, you know, a third of America or something.
Yeah.
So my dad is still going in our local pool, so I'm kind of trying to coach him through it.
Yeah.
And see if we can get him a win. I think he won it last year, so we'll give him a shot again.
Your dad, you said? Oh, good for him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I remember your dad is a Survivor juggernaut. Okay.
Right.
Premier League picks. First of all, where do you stand on the young Premier League season? Any sort of big takeaway, macro?
Not too much yet. I mean, Man City is really good. As we kind of expected, even though they stumbled last week, it's again, the bottom half is all just kind of a jumble. Like you're trying to pick out a relegation team or two. It's kind of tough because there's like 8, even 10 teams that they go down. It's not super shocking. And so, yeah, it's just kind of, it's a little more blobby, to use a completely technical term, than usual. There's not this group of bad teams, this group of okay teams, and a couple at the top. It just seems a little bit different than normal.
Was that technical term globby or blobby? Which was it?
I said blobby, but I kind of like globby a little bit better.
Globby works even better. Yeah,
globby.
A glob of teams.
Yeah, glob. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only the most insightful remarks here on this show. All right. Sorry. You have two tomorrow and you have one Sunday. What do you like tomorrow?
Yeah. So tomorrow, like these are a couple of the kind of bottom half-ish teams. In general, Everton and Bournemouth, I like Everton to win this one. It's -105, which is just a little light for me because Everton's kind of, here, I'll make a baseball analogy. Everton's kind of the opposite of the Marlins. You know, the Marlins had these terrible underlying numbers, but they got in the playoffs. Everton has pretty good underlying numbers, but they're not doing very well on the season. They're in 16th place, I think, but all the underlying numbers look much better. Bournemouth has been pretty bad, even though they scraped out a few points. Bournemouth has the third worst expected goal difference. They've given up the third most shots, second most expected goals. Defense is pretty bad. Tyler Adams, American kid who's been hurt all season, hasn't played for them. He would really hold it together. And Everton's, you know, they're just kind of okay. They might be getting out of that bottom glob. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's one of the main strikers. He looks healthy. He finally played a whole game last week. So I like Everton at home. -105 is a pretty good price there.
Okay. I love, by the way, that we've done this also with everything, with football and everything. Baseball, if for nothing else, so great to crystallize a feeling of something with an analogy to analogous to baseball, because we understand baseball underlying stats. And so when you can apply it to something else, it's a nice snapshot. You also like Crystal Palace on Saturday as a dog.
Yeah. These are another couple teams that, you know, look like they're in a similar bucket. Palace is in ninth, Nottingham Forest is in 12th. The Crystal Palace is just a little bit better. They won at Old Trafford last week. They beat Manchester United. They've taken care of business against a couple other teams that were relegation threatened this week, this year. You get a decent price. And I think a lot, part of this is because they're not quite a full strength. They got a couple of their better attackers who are likely going to miss this game for injuries. But their manager, Roy Hodgson, is a very pragmatic guy who just kind of figures out how to get things done. He's one of those guys who's bounced around the Premier League and really kind of world soccer for a long time. Big veteran. They might get Edouard back to help strengthen their attack this week. And Forrest is dealing with injuries and a suspension too. So Palace at home, you know, the better team at home to get +125 is pretty good. So even though they're missing a guy or two, I like that price at home for a Palace win.
Okay. And then it would not be a Paul Carr segment without a total, and specifically without an over. What you got?
Yeah. Going over 2.5 in West Ham, Newcastle, -140. So this is, you know, a little bit juicy, but I think this is an okay price down to about -150. Newcastle, first I have to say, like, they beat PSG at home on Wednesday in Champions League, and just like one of those all time Champions League nights that you have. Like, Newcastle hadn't been in Champions League for 20 years. You know, PSG is one of the glamour teams of soccer. Came in and Newcastle just smoked them 4-1. So they're coming off of that. Which is just kind of a footnote here, but both these teams have had pretty high scoring games, you know, 5 of 7 West Ham games with 3+ goals, and all 7 have just had lots of scoring chances, 25+ shots, 2.5 expected goals in all of them. And Newcastle's games have been, you know, above average scoring too, 5 of 7 again, 2.5 expected goals. And one of those exceptions was against Manchester City, who was just going to shut down almost anybody. So I feel like you can almost throw that out. So yeah, I think Newcastle will win this, but we're a little bit safer playing over 2.5, again, -140, played a little bit worse, but not much. Just think there's going to be goals in this one way or the other.
All right. So tomorrow, Everton over Bournemouth, Crystal Palace as a dog over Nottingham Forest, and Sunday, the over in the West Ham Newcastle match. Always shop around for the prices. Let me ask you a question. The lowest final point total in the history of the Premier League, Derby County back in 2007, 2008 ended up with 11 points. Now we're not even a quarter of the way through the season, but Bournemouth has, we're just shy of that. Bournemouth has 3 points and Sheffield United has but 1 point. You don't think, do you?
I don't, just because, like I said, the whole bottom half is just kind of a mess. Like, there's just not a big gap between like 12th and 20th or so in terms of quality that I've seen so far. So I don't think so. You know, there's always a chance, you know, wheels fall off and that sort of thing. But I mean, it's almost impossible. You know, you're playing 38 games and you can't scrape out 11 points. It's hard to believe. Every time I see that record, I'm just like, how did they do that? It's almost more impressive than, you know, like a team running the table to get that few points over the course of the season.
A little bit of Baxter. I'm not even mad at you. This whole wheel of cheese kind of thing. That's right.
I'm impressed.
Last thing, you're a Miami Dolphins fan, as we know as well. there you go. You already know what's going on. So after they score 70 points against Denver, they do get beat pretty resoundingly by their division rival, Buffalo Bills. Did you immediately toggle back to, okay, this is our rightful place in the division? Like, how did your thoughts go after that one?
A little bit. I mean, it was at Buffalo. Like, that's maybe the hardest game, definitely the hardest division game that Miami's going to have all season. So it's not the end of the world. Not too bad yet. I mean, the next two games are the Giants and the Panthers. So, I mean, you win those, everything's right on track. And yeah, it just obviously it hurts in the division race. So not too bummed out. I think it just kind of tempered. You have these dreams after the great start. You score 70 points of, you know, running the table and getting to the Super Bowl and a lot of other stuff. Maybe it tempered that a little bit, which is probably a healthy thing to do that now rather than have these sky high expectations later in the season. So yeah, we're just kind of, I think, settling into about where the Dolphins expectation should be, because I mean the season win total is like 9.5, I think. So that's kind of what was expected. We're hoping for a little bit better than that, obviously, now, but we're not looking at, you know, 14 wins or something this season.
Yeah, Bills minus 120. Back to the favorite to win the AFCs. The Dolphins right behind that at plus 110. Patriots and Jets, by the way, 25 and 35 to 1, respectively. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Paul Carr at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. DK Network, Dan Le Batard is next. We got more NFL. And Jason Weingarten and Dr. Bob.